Welcome to Salam Nerds Podcast. We do reviews and recaps of your favorite reality TV shows. Our views do not reflect the contestants outside of the show.
Yo, 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 it's the Salam Nerds. My name is Lee, a.k.a. Watson Lee, and I'm here, my boy, Jack.
We drop live episodes on YouTube on Sundays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. All episodes can also be found everywhere podcasts are found. Thank you to all our supporters. Please help us by subscribing and leaving a good review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Yo, 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 Salam Nerds. It's your boy Neebs, aka Watch with Neebs, and I'm here with my co-host, DJ Squidward.
No.
Squidward, because of Squid Game, bro.
Don't make fun of my nose.
I'm not making fun of your nose. It's a pun. It's a pun. But listen, we got to introduce you to one of our favorite guests. Definitely somebody who's, I would say, colleagues we steal all the time for our show is our boy TJ. What's up, TJ?
Keep on stealing. Don't mind it at all. We at the Agents of Fandom love the Salam Nerds podcast, love to support any way we can. And anytime we get to link up, it's a blast. And so I got to say, before we dive in, something DJ Squidward would say would just be immediately shutting down the name DJ Squidward.
Ooh,
just like that. No.
That's exactly what he'd do. So I don't know. Maybe it fits.
Sorry, I didn't do it right. It has to be like, no.
true, very true. All right, cool, man. I am using a new function on my computer right now. So if you go to TikTok, we are on TikTok Live for the first time. So we are simultaneously streaming to all 140,000 followers on my TikTok, which is exciting. So super cool. So even though the TikTok comments will not show up on here, they will show up on my screen and I can point them out. But I have to go in full view, so Jazz, you can only see the comments from YouTube, so we'll have to help each other out a little bit.
Yeah, I'll take care of that, no worries.
All right. So listen, a few years ago, a TV show came out called Squid Game, and it took America by storm because it was thrilling. It had drama, but it also had this amazing message about the harmfulness of capitalism and consumerism. And what do we decide to do? We decide to make a reality show out of it.
Of course we did.
Taking people who are basically, I don't know, like affected by our society and are in positions where they could really use the money, and then putting them in situations where they have to be their most terrible selves to put themselves in a position to get this money. Listen, does not sound like a good thing. But somehow I started watching it and I got so invested, and they made it work. They got me. I'm a sucker. TJ, what are your thoughts? And then we'll go to Jazz.
Sure.
You perfectly encapsulated exactly how I feel. And so my co-founder and the director of content and editorial at Agents of Fandom, Garrett Blaney, he wrote an article up on agentsoffandom.com that's titled, "Netflix should be ashamed of themselves for Squid Games, the challenge." And he wanted, the only reason it wasn't longer is because of SEO purposes, right? He had to cut it down, make it shorter for headline rank. But he wanted to do, "Netflix should be ashamed of themselves for Squid Games, the challenge. And I can't stop watching." and just
That's
like,
so true.
You take the themes of what the show was, of just like the commentary on how capitalism exploits those who, aren't well off and are really struggling, and then you go to, or I guess sort of with parts of the show being like, these people were billions of dollars in debt, but that's sort of concept, right? They didn't even pay the original creator any royalties. That was one of the main reasons that Garrett wrote up this article. It was kind of a review / commentary of Netflix should actually be ashamed of themselves because they went full capitalism and they went, no, we purchased the rights to this. It's ours now. You already got your money. It doesn't matter that how famous we get on this reality TV show. It's ours. too bad, so sad, see you later. So it's definitely, they really did the thing. But you're right, like it was eye gluing TV. We're obviously only going to talk about the start, but if we were talking about the end, I don't really like how it ended. But it kept my eyes glued to the screen throughout the first five episodes at the very least, for sure.
Yeah, it definitely did. And wow, I had no idea. That's insane. Shout out to Marley in the comments. We got Marley and a few other people on TikTok. So yay, we got TikToks working. I'm excited about this. Listen, I cannot believe they did not pay the guy who created Squid Game for Squid Game the Challenge. Like, they got to throw. It's like kind of how Marvel doesn't really pay the artists for a lot of the work they do. Like, the artist who did Hawkeye got paid almost nothing for the Hawkeye show, even though they use almost like all his concepts in that series. So it's crazy. Jazz, what are your thoughts about Squid Game, the Challenge?
Yeah, so I had a thought, but then the moment TJ said that the original creator is not getting any royalties, I'm just like, I need to Google shit right now and look it up. And yeah, it's all true. Like, the original creator is not getting royalties at all. Like, he just got paid as, you know, whatever he got paid. And oh my god, they really did do the capitalism on a show that's a commentary on capitalism. Like,
they lost the plot.
They lost the plot. Like, oh my god,
that's
horrible.
That's insane. But like, I really did feel for a lot of these people. Like, a lot of them were like, they never had anything. Some of them, you know, they wanted better lives for their family. Some of them were in debt. Some of them were like doctors and pretty well off and were just doing it for fun. And I was like, it had a whole array of people. And there were a few people I loved. There were a few people I hated. There's a few people I growed to love. And there's a few people I grow to hate it. What are your thoughts about some of the contestants? Because it's really weird because they're real people, but you're not seeing them at their most like best. You're seeing them at their most raw. And a lot of it sometimes is jarring. TJ, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's, they're the same thing with you. There's a lot of these people that it's like, wow, you are just the worst. But I try still not to judge too much because I'm close friends with Lee Swift, who was a finalist of season two of The Circle on Netflix, one of my favorite reality TV shows. And he whenever we talk, get on together to talk about reality TV, he always just kind of reaffirms, like, we don't see everything. We see what production wants to give us. It's all framed in a way. And so we got to keep in mind, these are real people that are getting put out here to tell a story. But yeah, no, there was a few of these people. I don't remember their exact numbers off the top of my head. I got Garrett's article beside me here. I think he's talked about it. So I'll pull it up. But like, the guy who was stealing food, stealing like the extra food, and like the guy who was super, super loud at the beginning. And then eventually just got voted off, the push-up guy. Obviously there was like, they made it tough to like them, but again, it is kind of like the only what production shows us and only how they frame it for us. They don't show us a lot of the conversations. And yeah, Carlos in the YouTube chat says, gonna be awkward if Neve says he hated Stooks, because player 182, that's Carlos's and my guy TJ Stooks, friends from before the show. He didn't really get featured at all in the first two episodes and then became kind of like a main character from episode three on. We just had him on the Agents of Fandom podcast last week, actually, to talk about Squid Game.
Wait, is he the guy whose name is also TJ and he's like a coach?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I liked him. He was good. Yes! But like, yes! But here's the thing though, right? Sometimes being too likable puts a target on your back. Because then you're like, a lot of people like this person. I need to get this person now because he is too powerful. So like, you got to coast. You got to coast sometimes, which I think is really, really interesting. All right, let's get started because this is going to take a while. So let's do this. So the first game right off the bat, red light, green light. And Lorenzo's over there. He was like, you know, we're all athletic. You know, I'm athletic. You're athletic. Maybe not so much him. And I was just like, this guy is already starting to hit a nerve. And I'm just like, how are all these people going to get across the thing? And then I'm over here thinking like, oh, cool. Are they just going to tell them like, you know, oh, you can leave? Are they going to shoot them with paintball guns? Like, what's happening? I had no idea they're going to be wearing like packs underneath their like chest and stuff, and they would just explode to actually mimic snipers shooting them. I thought that was amazing production. And the fact that they're ink, and like ink is in reference to squid, because squids, like, you know, they expel ink. I was like, I love it. They're doing their homework. This is so good. And the people are so dramatic. They're like falling and flailing everywhere as soon as they get like shot. I love that. I was like, it just set the tone for the whole show. And I was in. TJ, what are your thoughts about the red light, green light?
So I thought it was a lot of fun. And I was kind of watching it thinking like, this really doesn't look that hard. And there was one of the people who was eliminated, and she, and basically was just like, she got caught in a squat during one of the thing, one yes. of the, yeah. And I was just like, how, why did you show up if you're not willing to like tough it out? How are you just giving up? And I didn't realize that, like, they, I think that the total red light, green light game lasted like 10 hours or something like
that.
That was a long ass time that they had to hold that stuff.
That's
that
a long squat.
Long, long time and a long squat. So I was like, my judgments while I was watching were total, like, I had to take them back. I felt so bad for them because there was like, it was much more difficult than I realized, because they had to hold those poses for a long, long time.
Yeah, we owe Squat Girl an apology. I couldn't do that. We owe her an apology. And then like we got like, you know, 432, who is off the bat coming out as like, you know, the cocky one who's like, might have the best number, 432, because I'm the one. And I'm like, all right. He's this cocky guy. So he's talking about how fitting stuff he is. Then there was another character they made us focus on. It's the mom and the son. And I did not know how long that they would last, but they lasted a good while. And I got really invested in the mom and the son. I thought that they were really cool characters. What characters off of Red Light, Green Light did you really connect with? Jazz, you want to go?
Okay. So there was this one scene in Red Light, Green Light where this guy was like, oh my God, that's my best friend. He's dead.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's out of the competition, right? In that scene, however, the guy right in front of him is somebody I know in real life.
No way.
Yeah, it's my boy Thomas Nguyen. He's going to be on our podcast next week. And so I was just watching him trying to see, oh, is 371 going to make it? Is he going to make it? The entire time, that was my whole thing.
Yeah. Well, did he make it?
He did make it. He made it through red light, green light, but okay, he didn't make it far in the show. And we'll talk about that in a bit.
We'll talk about that. Then we'll talk about that.
What about you, Sneebs? Who's your favorite?
My favorite. I really like Rose, the girl from Africa who had like the red hair. I don't know. Mm. They didn't say what country in Africa she was from, but I really liked her, and she got far, and I was really rooting for her. She was just like, you know, coasting. She was doing a good job. I liked her. There were some people I really did not like. And then when I found out stuff about them afterwards, I didn't like them even more. And so it's really, really interesting. Like, there were more people I disliked than I did. Like, I did like Rick. I thought Rick was a vibe. Why did so many of them have their hands in their pockets? I think it's because they were there for so long, so they can have small movements in their hands and not like get caught. That's what I think. TJ, what are your thoughts?
And it was cold.
It was cold. Oh, yeah. Damn. That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I feel like, yeah, that would do it. And if you had your hands in your pocket, you can probably like warm them up by, you know, just having them in your pocket. That makes a lot of sense. Why would it be so cold? That's so weird.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact circumstances, but there was a lot. Well, the reports that came out kind of before where certain people like were putting together a class action lawsuit or something against Netflix because of the treatments. And it was like that game specifically, it was like X amount of time, 10 hours or however long it was really cold and they weren't allowed to move. And so if they were allowed to move around and warm themselves up, it would have been fine. But that was the point of the game, is they had to stay still. And so it was basically like they were saying like this sucked. How could you do this to us?
Yeah.
That we talked to TJ a little bit about that player 182 on our interview with him, and he basically said like yes, all, like the conditions were not exaggerated. They were that bad. It did suck that much. but it was laid out to us beforehand. We signed up for it. Like, we knew what we were getting ourselves into.
I mean, it's Squid Game. It's not like a luxury resort, right? Like, you knew it was going to be tough. But it was weird that they had to use, like, condom lubrication for, like, chapstick. Like, that was wild. Also,
why was there condoms and not chapstick?
For real, that's the real question.
I don't know, but I understand people have needs. So I don't know
if it's Love Island or you know, the bachelorette. I get it. Put condoms out, make sure people are safe. Some people gotta do what they gotta do on these shows, you know. But everyone's in the same room.
I know. But the beds are really, really high. So people who have like a high bed, maybe you, I don't know, you would still hear it, right? You would still hear the squeak, squeak, squeak.
All over the goddamn hall.
And that place echoed. Like, you could hear like echoes. Because they said the snoring was like noticeable. Contestants on Netflix Real Life Squid Game suffered hypothermia and nerve damage after being in painful stress positions for hours in freezing temperatures while filming. That's crazy. That's insane. Wow.
Yeah.
But you know, the real Squid Game was worse though. I guess that's at least you didn't get shot. You know, in like how what's that thing? Hangover. But did you die? Oh man. But you know what I really liked about this? The music. I love how the music kind of sets the tone. They have like, you know, old school music, and I think they did that because like they don't have to pay royalties for some of the music that they actually put on there. I think that's why they use it. But like when they're like traveling from like one room into the game room, and they have that like weird stairs that go up but then also go down and then go into different rooms, I thought that was so cool. I really, really liked that. Very reminiscent of the show. I mean, of the actual show.
And it added like a lot of the spookiness to it too as well, right? Like it just made it a lot more kind of eerie as we were going on. It didn't remind me of this because I hadn't seen the movie yet, but the two movies I just watched recently kind of reminded me of how they do that on Squid Game, where they'll take a not scary looking situation, but add the music to be like, oh, should I be on the edge of my seat right now?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What's about to happen? And like the two movies I just watched were May December and Leave the World Behind. It was filled with those moments where the score set the tone, and it was like, oh, I guess I'm going to be supposed to be unnerved and on edge right now because something scary is about to happen.
That's true. I think May December actually got nominated for the Golden Globes. I think that just came out. So I think it got some nominations. Well, one thing I really like is like, you know, the mom and the son thing. You would see the son like really care for his mom. He's like, oh, I got to get you a lower bed. So like, obviously, you know, she's old and frail and she can't like go up all those, you know, stairs to get to bed. And also she's got to pee, man. So I like that. I like the fact that he was looking out for her. He really admired his mom. He was like, his mom was very athletic. She's really cool. She's probably going to outlast him. I really liked the relationship. And then he told like this other girl, Figgy, I believe. And he was like, if I get eliminated, please take care of my mom. And I was like, oh, I was like, this is so good. I really liked that human element to this and him trying to take care of his mom. I thought that was really, really cool. What are your thoughts about the mom and the 302, I believe it was the mom. And I forget what the kid was.
I couldn't agree more with everything you said. Like everything the son was doing was just so wholesome. It was so sweet. He immediately became one of my favorites. And so to see him like, after episode 3 and into episode 4, just immediately start linking up with player 182, TJ. That like really hyped me up because I was like, okay, the one I know from real life and the player that I kind of, one of the ones I pegged as my favorites are starting to get on with each other. I like that. But I thought it was hilarious how so many of these feelings just were not reciprocated by the mom.
Yeah.
Like, the son was like, I will do whatever I can to protect my mom. And the mom was like, I will step on my child's neck if it means winning the money.
Yeah, definitely. One thing they told me that I thought was interesting is you're not allowed to share the money or like try to negotiate. Because I was like, if I'm in there, I would be like, hey, don't vote me out. I'll give you $100,000. Like I would be making deals with everybody just to save my skin.
Yeah.
And apparently you can't do that. But he was the only one with an advantage because your mom's your mom. No one's going to stop you from sharing it with your mom. So like, I thought that gave them a really, really good advantage, but the mom was kind of just playing like for herself. Like she was definitely like, you know, with her son, but she was like, eh, if it comes down to it, I'll take him out. She was very competitive. She was very, very competitive. So we liked that. And then the other guy who is also old that I like is Rick. Rick the beekeeper, who is beekeeping age. And if you don't know what beekeeping age means, go look up Rick and Morty beekeeping age. It's a clip. It's hilarious. I thought it was so hilarious that Rick was talking about beekeeping because that is just so funny. But he was also a pretty great character. I really, really liked him. What are your thoughts about Rick?
Yeah, he had all the tattoos with the story. Every time he opened his mouth, it was like a new funny anecdote about his personality. And he was one of those people that like almost seemed like they had to get like written into the show because it was just like, you know, token old guy, but he was just so authentic and silly and fun. And he really was just there for the love of the game, you know, like he really was just there to have some fun. And yeah, he'd like to win, but he's not compromising his alliances. Like we talked about, the mom was ready to throw her son under the bus if it meant advancing. He wasn't going to do that to any of his fellow alliance members. So
it was the Gambu gang.
Exactly. It was a very refreshing, like when everybody there was just, it seemed so ready to backstab the person beside them at a moment's notice. And understandably so, he was a nice breath of fresh air in the game.
Yeah, he really was. It was really good to kind of like see him, and he's kind of just like someone I kind of admire from like outside show, because he's like a doctor, he's a physician, but he's like, yeah, you know, I did my shit, but now I just have a bunch of hobbies, and he's just trying to become the most interesting man in the world, which is like my goal, to become the most interesting man in the world. So like, I really, really liked that about him. But he was definitely, he had his little gang, and he really cared about his gang. He was not intending to backstab any of them. The entire gang was actually very wholesome. The Gangwu gang was actually a very wholesome gang. Just so wild to see like call people gangs, because there are times where it seems like a prison gang. Like I'll see people like just like literally sitting at a bench and people coming up to them and be like, yo, can I talk to you for a second? It was just wild. It gave me like some very interesting vibes. But then there was
like when people get eliminated, it's like getting taken to isolation and it's like, no, they got caught. I shouldn't have let them trade me those cigarettes. It was very like big time.
That's so true. That's true. And then they had this other group that was like doing push-ups and exercising the whole time. And that was like player 4-3-2. And people were like, all right, there is a group here that is just super strong. We got to watch out for them. And when they started teaming up, it worked against them because all the strong people were in one group. And the game they thought was tug of war ended up being battleships. And I thought that was so funny. That was so funny. What were your thoughts about battleships?
Yo. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, you can guess.
Okay, so battleship was a brilliant idea, right? Yeah. It does require like a lot of strategic thinking, but also what I loved about all the games is like more towards the end, like the further you got along, a lot of them were luck-based. So people can't really be mad like at how a lot of the straws fell. Like it just happened. And so Battleship, I mean, I'm a big fan of Battleship. It was so great. And then specifically, it was, I believe, the third round where the one girl was like, oh, this is my shit. I play Battleship for like a living. And how she just wrecked shop. Yeah. Oh my God, that was awesome.
She called her shot and then just drilled it, nailed everyone. It was so, so impressive. And like the two specific moments to me that I thought were just like the pinnacle of this show were, everyone thinks it's tug of war. Nope, it's Battleship. Yeah. And then the very end, which we'll talk about later, the picnic. Those two moments to me were the most beautifully produced moments from the show, where it's like you think one thing is going to happen. Just kidding. It's another huge twist. Majorly impacts the game. You never know what's going to come next.
Yeah.
To me, that was just awesome. There was a little bit too much randomness in there for me. Like, yeah. I think the, you know, making people betray each other, having them compete against each other, throw some twists in there. That's the most compelling television for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love the battleship part. It was so cool. Seeing that exact part that you talked about, Jazz, and then my guy TJ step up and get his TV time throughout that stuff. Mm-hmm. But the, he made the, like, to me, the biggest lesson after watching episodes one, episode two, is you want to be a fly on the wall. You want, you don't want people to know your name. You don't want people to know your number. You just want to be chilling in the background in the show. Cause the,
yeah,
the second people recognize you as a face,
yep,
you're the number one target. And so, like, that was, I think, something worrisome that he picked up a little bit on episode three, is like you were talking about before, Neebs, is you just make yourself a target. Yeah. But that one to me was, that game in general was a lot of fun, because you get to, you got to see a lot of people's personalities come out. Mm-hmm. You get to see, like the pre-battleship, as they're all waiting in the line. That's when TJ started getting his TV time of somebody he didn't even know, just basically starts having a panic attack, and he,
yeah,
helps calm them down. It was, you really got to see where people are at in that show and let people get their screen time. But it kind of had the polar opposite effect to me of when I'm watching Red Light, Green Light, I didn't really get overly invested in any characters, because what that showed me was they'd show us somebody's background and then they'd immediately lose and get shot. And then show me, like, okay, this is going to be a Game of Thrones, The Boys, Invincible style reality TV, yeah, show, where it's like, I don't want to get attached to anybody because they could be gone immediately. Somebody could be portrayed as a main character just for them to get taken away immediately. So I gotta wait a while before I build any emotional connections to these people.
Yeah, that's so true. Because there was this one girl in the beginning and they were telling us all her backstory, and I was like, oh, I feel so good about her, she's gonna be a main character. Bam, she's one of the first people to get out. And I was like, you can't trust anything here. So I thought it was really good. Another person we got to see a little bit of the beginning, who I did not like at all, not in personally, but like how he was portrayed on the show, was Lorenzo, the guy who was, who went for seconds when people didn't even get there first. And mm-hmm. I was like, and I believe in the show Squid Game, someone does that, and because of that, someone doesn't get food. So I thought that's what was going to happen. I thought somebody was not going to get food because he went and got it twice. But that wasn't the case. I think everybody got food. But then he started eating other people's food, and I was just like, oh, this guy's rubbing me the wrong way. I am not a fan of him. He was definitely somebody who was like, didn't care how he came out. And then when 302 got into a little beef with him, I thought it was so good, because I think she was making food and she offered him some, and he said no in a very sassy, rude way. And she was like, this guy was rude to me, so I'm going to go ahead and put him up on the screen to vote out. And when she does that, he was one of the first people to, for people to vote. So when you're up there on the screen, people can only see the person you voted for if they're not already on the screen. So since she put him up on the screen early, that was kind of his like death sentence, where he was like, a lot of people voted for him. So he came back to her and he goes, I just want to check if it was 302 or 302. And she's like, it's the same. And I thought, yeah, that was the
funniest. Those numbers mean the same thing.
I thought that was so funny. Oh man, what are your thoughts about Lorenzo and 302's beef?
That's got to be the funniest beef imaginable. Just like this old, like the oldest lady there with this dude who's just like, I don't care what anybody thinks. I'll do whatever I want. I'll eat this food. I don't care. I'll pick a fight with a 70-year-old lady. Like, it's just, come. I don't mean to sound ageist in any way. She killed it. She did way better on that show than I could have. She was absolutely mm-hmm. incredible. But just like, what are you doing? Why are you... You're just making yourself look worse at any moment, and you clearly don't care what anybody thinks, which is great. But it just seemed like he was going out of his way to constantly dig himself a deeper hole.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
I looked up what he does for a living. I will give you two guesses on what he does.
Something in like maybe marketing, media. I don't know.
Okay. What about you, TJ?
I was going to guess just like influencer.
Okay. He is an asset manager. He's a Wall Street bro, but from the
wow,
UK. Yeah,
wow.
So didn't even need the money for sure. Like,
yeah,
yeah. He's just that guy.
Okay, So he's Wolf of Wall Street. That's really funny. All right. Then there was a story with this other guy. His name is Hussein. And like, look, I wanna root for my people. I do. But I hate this guy so much. And I was like, am I a self-hating brown person? Like, why do I not like this guy? I just, his vibe was not great. But he had this amazing line where he had beef with 432 and he called him a frat boy. And he goes, call me frat boy one more time. I'm not going to put my hands on you, but outside this show, maybe. And he goes, okay, frat boy. And the guy goes, all right. He's like, wait, I just realized he called me frat boy again. That line was fantastic. I give him that. But then on the show, he just annoyed me. And when he was hovering around the phone to try to get the phone, I was like, oh, this is very sneaky. I don't like what he's doing. And then when he got the food, all the people who grabbed his food, I was like, that's kind of rude. And there was this one girl, I think her name was Jada. She was talking so much shit about Lorenzo when he went and got second and was eating other people's food. This girl went ahead and grabbed the whole burger I was like, yo, you're such a hypocrite. But what I found out was really funny was that he actually got halal burger. They got him a halal burger because he was Muslim, which I thought was really, really cool.
Oh, did they really? Yeah, that was my first question, actually, when I saw it. I was like, is that halal?
Yeah, that was halal. But apparently everyone on the show hated this guy. And I kind of get why. He's like one of those like Tom Green kind of influencers that like tries to get reactions out of people. And a lot of people did not like him. And he was like very misogynist, and he made fun of people's accents and did a lot of crappy things. But people in England love him. He's like a huge influencer there. He has like a million followers. And this was before the show. And everyone is defending him. They're like, no, that's just Hussein. That's just how he is. It's British humor. You don't get it. I don't know.
Right. I don't get that. That's correct.
There were so many people in the comments defending him. They love this guy. And he's like, I don't know. He's like, they're like, oh, Mr. Beast or something. I don't know. But people really, really like him. I find him super annoying. What about you, Jazz? What were your thoughts?
Yo, yeah. Like, I really got the vibe that he's the instigator kind, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's going to be the one going around spreading rumors to get reactions out of people and, like, just make it fun for himself, but like really hurt other people. Yeah. I did not like his personality, man. Like, I get that's who he is, but like, again, I don't get it. I don't get their humor. So
yeah,
whatever.
I don't get British prank humor. Like, that's just weird to me. I don't know, but that was really interesting.
This as a former teacher, you very much reminded me of like the kid in the class that would be like, haha, I have this and you don't, and try and like rub it into other kids' face.
Yeah.
And when he had the phone, that's like, he was waiting on the phone. That's very much what it felt like to me, is he's just sitting there grabbing it. Then it's like, haha, I got this. You don't.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know how, from a gameplay standpoint, the first time one, maybe, yeah, you can get away with it, go fly under the radar. You gave some of the other people your food. Great.
Yeah.
But the second time, like, you had to know, one, that was probably a terrible idea because something bad's going to happen to you, or two, you are putting the biggest target on your back. So it didn't seem like a very, he caught wind of the spotlight and then decided that that's more important to me than anything else right now.
Yeah, no, totally. Another thing that we didn't talk about, I don't know how we missed this, but the cookie game was wild. The fact that like people try to like not switch, they try to like hold their own, and they're like, well, if you can't decide, we're all going to get eliminated. And they just like call their bluff, and they all got eliminated twice. That was wild. And then finally, this one guy, Spencer, got like peer pressured and manipulated into taking it. And he was like, okay, I'll take it, but you have to help us. And then people were like, okay, yeah, we'll help you. We promise we'll help you. And then you find out you can't help other people. So that guy's strategy was so bad. What were your thoughts about the cookie game?
Very well. Like, whoever produced that, I think they may have all been together initially. But then after he said, hey, we're only going to do this if you help us, I think somebody in production was like, you know what we should do? We should make them all go in separately.
No, it'd be funny.
Exactly. Like, I think that's what happened.
That might have been. He was like, please spit on your neighbor's food. I was like, I don't understand this. Oh, man. But yeah, I felt bad for him. He was like vomiting while he was trying to do that. He gets like this acid reflux or something, but he was not having a good time. But poor Spencer.
I felt so bad. Like, that dude was just like, he was unwell. I don't mean this like with judgment, because for like whatever it is, I don't know. I don't even know the reason, but like, you know, growing up when I was younger and I played a lot of basketball, I was confident with it. Didn't matter how pressure or nervous the moment was. I was like, I want this. This is so fun. I had the confidence. And so it was great. And then afterwards, you know, as I got older, the confidence in the sport dwindled, because all of a sudden I'm no longer an athlete. I'm just a 30-year-old dude who's out of shape. Mm. All of a sudden, those type of moments, they get scary and I feel the nerves coming in. Right.
Yeah.
And it's something you can be trained into, you can learn, but some people just don't have that. And I say this as someone who once had it and no longer has it. There's sometimes you just don't have the mental fortitude to be able to be in those types of crazy pressure situations. And it just seemed like it was ripping him out from the inside. And I felt so bad.
I felt really bad. Like, there were times where I thought man was really going to throw up. I was like, it's crazy.
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah. That was wild. But a few people did still make it, even though they had the umbrella. I thought that was really cool. And then they had to vote somebody out. And we talked about how Lorenzo was voted out because he started beef with 302. But there was also a doctor, Dr. Kevin, who all he did was make a bunch of suggestions. And people were like, I don't like this man.
Fuck you for helping.
He was just taking the lead. And people were like, fuck you. Who made you boss? How dare you suggest this? Poor man didn't do anything wrong. But I could tell, like, people were just getting vibes that he was like cocky and arrogant. And yeah, this one lady had it out for him. And then another guy, they got out because they heard him say that he didn't want to be here anymore. They're like, oh, you don't want to be here anymore? Say less. We'll all vote you out. That was
473
really
or whatever. Yeah.
And he immediately was like, maybe that was a bad strategy.
like pretending you don't want to be here and just get screwed. Oh, man, that was funny. And there was this guy named Dash. He was red hair and he was like telling people like, yeah, I didn't vote for you. And then immediately goes and tells other people, yeah, I voted for her, but I don't want anyone else to know I voted for her. Like, it was so funny. Snakes everywhere. Snakes were everywhere on this show. And then they had this Jack in the Box thing. And what they did they did this Jack in the Box. And basically a bunch of people had to pick what was going to, you know, they pick a Jack in the Box and it gives you an advantage, lets you eliminate one person or it eliminates yourself. So that was very, very interesting. I believe 229 was on there. And it's really interesting because, like, they really make you feel for this person because they gave you the whole story about how she was trying to, like, have a kid and they did, like, all these things and they, like, tried a bunch of times. And I'm like, oh, man, I feel really, really bad for her. And then she's up there and she's having, like, a nervous breakdown and you really feel for her. There are times where I was like, all right, they're doing too much acting, I think. but I definitely felt for her a little bit. And then the first guy ends up getting an advantage. Second guy ends up getting eliminated. And then she gets to eliminate three people. So she eliminates the one guy with the advantage. That was smart. Like, why I have an advantage? Why let somebody have an advantage in the next game? I totally
smart,
dig
but
that.
So cutthroat.
That was savage. Yeah, that was savage.
That was savage. That's
that guy was like, yeah. This doesn't even make any sense. This is terrible. This doesn't even make any sense. And you could totally tell he was expecting like them to come in and be like, because he has the advantage, he can't be eliminated.
Yeah.
And then it just didn't come. And they were like, see ya, pal.
Oh, my God. I wanted to know what his advantage was. What was the advantage?
What was the next game?
The next game was, let's see. Elimination. I think it was the marbles, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe, like, Marvel's they would have known. Maybe they would have told them that, like, it's Marvel's, don't pick your friend.
Yeah, or he would be alone, and he wouldn't have to go. Because I believe one guy who was picnicking by himself got to bypass that entire, like, event. He didn't play.
Wow.
Yeah, he didn't have to play Marvel's.
Wow, lucky him.
I know. That's what happens when nobody picks you in gym class. You get to, like, go on to the next game without getting eliminated.
That's actually fantastic.
Yeah, but she did eliminate two of the people who I really liked, and that was Rick and Steve, who were just earlier playing Dodgeki, which I thought was just a great thing, because they just found the Dodgeki, then were playing it while they were waiting for what the next task was, just to find out that was the task. And the guy was like, oh shit, am I eliminated? And I literally thought Rick accidentally eliminated Steve, and he would have to go home, because Rick was like super sad, but he just got a bar of chocolate, and they were both allowed to go back. And then as soon as they both go back, they both get eliminated. Wild. Crazy turn of events. People were really sad. The guy was like, what did I do? Like, is that my number? That was cutthroat. The girl who eliminated three people was very cutthroat. Jack, yo, what like,
I'm not happy with the way, like, Rick got eliminated there. Like, I want to see know. More of him. And, oh my god, this girl was brilliant. Like, I hate how much I like what she did, but also I hate her for doing it. It's such a weird mix of emotions for me. But yeah, like, well done, I guess.
It was solid. I know. She dismantled the Gangu gang so fast. The Gangu gang was in shambles after that. Man. All right. And then we get to find out a bunch of people go and they do orange juice, and they're juicing oranges. And as they're juicing oranges, we're like, okay, what's the next thing going to be? But it was nothing. They ended up coming out with more food and a picnic, and everybody got picnics, and everybody was hanging out with their friends at the picnic. And turned out the picnic was going to be the game with the marbles. And that's where they kind of end it for us on the fifth episode. Wild. The marbles thing was pretty incredible. It was a great change of, like, how everything is happening at the moment. What are your thoughts about that big twist?
It was incredible. Like, that and the battleship twist were my two favorite moments of the entire series, where just you make people feel like they are safe and they did something good and they get to relax. Just for them to potentially lose their biggest ally in this game. Everybody's kind of thinking, like, hey, maybe if we're doing a picnic together, we'll get teamed up for something. Yeah. Everybody that whole game was expecting some kind of team up. Throughout the course of the whole game, everybody's just expecting there to be a team up. And anytime people are ready to do it, it just happens to be, no, you're actually competing against the people that you're teaming up with, that you thought you were teaming up with. So, I thought that was one of the very best twists of the show. So incredible. You get to see so many. It's devastating, but it makes for such great television to see so many people who have these relationships with each other just get ripped apart.
Yeah, it was so interesting. And one thing that I find really interesting is that up to five episodes, none of the final people are actually highlighted or shown. They're showing you all the people, except for the people that actually make it to the end. So it's kind of interesting. Like, did the people who made it to the end were just not interesting? Were they just laying low and that's why they got there? Or they were just, you know, more entertaining people earlier on in the beginning? You know, it's kind of like this thing, the meek will inherit the earth. Like, the most meek people were the ones who ended up at the end. A few of them ended up to be, like, you know, pretty badass, but, like, we didn't know that. For example, like, B, who dominated in battleships, is like a Mensa, whatchamacallit, trivia person who knows, like, board games like the back of her head. But we didn't know that until battleships, right? And even then she's like, I'm going to keep how smart I am to myself. And she ends up, like, being eliminated in a way where, like, she didn't have to be eliminated. Like, she could have, like, decided to not hold her end of the bargain for what everyone decided to do, and she could have won it. Like, I have like super confidence that she could have won the whole game, but she was like, all right, everyone's decided to do this. I'm going to hold true and I'm going to be a team player. And being a team player got her eliminated, which I think is like wild. But yeah, these characters are so interesting. What are your thoughts about some of the people who got eliminated early on and compared to the people that were, you know, shown later on?
I think it was kind of a combo of two different things. One, exactly like you said, where people realize quickly, the good game players realize quickly, like, hey, making people know who I am is bad. There's no head of household like Big Brother where I just am going to be in the clear because people want me as their leader. The second people notice me, they can target me. If they don't notice me, they can't. So I definitely think that was a factor. But in addition to that, I think that was just partially a production thing where it was like, obviously, if they're making it to the end, they're going to be getting their screen time at the end. So let's make sure we're giving people who will be eliminated lots of screen time so that people are getting invested in their success or failure so that they're more like emotionally invested in that show, the episodes as they're coming out. So I think that was likely a bit of it was twofold. I think it was a production thing, making sure they spread out the screen time, but also a lot of people made it to the end because they were making sure, like, I'm not going to be a leader. I'm not going to be a voice. I'm just going to be here chilling and let other people pick each other off until the end.
Yeah. I thought it was really, really interesting. And there were some people where people were like, I don't know him, but like, you know, I voted for him because I don't know him and I don't have relationships. So like, it's so interesting because there were some people that like had relationships and that got them to the next level. And there's some people who, you know, were just friendly with everybody. And that also got them to the level because people didn't see him as a threat. Very, very interesting how that happened. Jazz, what about you? What are your thoughts about some of the people that were eliminated early versus some of the people that stayed on later?
It really just shows you how people think and that how people are unpredictable. Like, yeah, there is no set way to do it. Like, you have to be known enough to have allies, but not be known enough to be a target. Like, it's game theory, and whoever played it, they did it really well.
Yeah. I do notice that, like, as the numbers of people left dwindle less and less and less, they get more into like, hey, let's not be as cutthroat. Let's try to be civil as possible. Whereas earlier on, they were just like, they were voting people
out. Fill that orb, baby. Give me the money.
By the way, I love the way they fill the orb. Like, it's just like so good. It's so dramatic. And the numbers go down and the money goes up. And then we see the money come down. It's just so good. But like at the beginning, they're like clapping. And then at one point, they just stop clapping for more money because they feel really bad for the people that were eliminated. And then they start clapping again. Like, it's so wild.
It's exactly that. And it's the perfect thematic explanation of what this show is. It's why I love without spoiling for the rest of the season, it's why I love what immediately follows the picnic, the marble game, because it's a partially skill, but it's even more psychological. It's seeing what two people will do when in crisis, when the odds are stacked against them. It's survivalism, but in a game, you know?
Yeah.
When two people have their backs against the wall and they're facing death/elimination, mm-hmm. will they band together, support each other, and know that their best chance of making it as far to the end as possible is together? Or will they stab each other in the back because all they care about is their own success? Because there's $5 million, there's success, there's whatever the end goal of capitalism is on the line. I will cut the person who created the game and I don't care about their royalties because I need to make the most money. Or will I go in with as many people as possible and sacrifice part of my own success for those around me so I can lift them up? That's what the entire question of the Squid Game is. But it's also like life. It's really poetic.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to pose a question to you. So if you were on this show, Squid Game, would you do whatever it takes to win and be cutthroat? Or would you want to show the world the best version of yourself, even though it means getting eliminated, what would you do? Jazz, I want to ask you first.
Okay. So I actually thought about this, like, you know, what would I do if I was in the show? I would approach it the way where I would want to show the best of humanity. And like, not just like, you know, just be nice to everybody. I mean, I would be like, oh, I get to volunteer? Let me volunteer. Oh, it's bad? Okay, my time's done. Thank you all. Have a good day. Like, I would be up there. And then, like, you know, if people were like, oh, you have to eliminate somebody? I'd be like, can I flip a coin somehow for, like, 456 people? Like, like, that's the kind of game I would play. Like, just truly random, truly upbeat, truly happy, and just have the best time because, you know, you're one of 456 people. If you are supposed to be the one, you're going to be the one. If not, like, you know, life goes on. Like, it is what it is. It's a game. There's no real stake here.
I totally get what you're saying, but you have to recognize that, like, you would be coming from a place of privilege where you can afford to have that kind of attitude, right? Because there's some people that are on this show, they can't afford to have that attitude. They need the money so bad. So I totally agree with you, but I totally understand why, like, you feel that way and other people wouldn't. So totally get that. TJ, what about you?
Jazz said, with great power comes great responsibility, and I will take that. I will take that upon myself. I'm able to do it, so I will. Probably somewhere in between. I would go very much, I'm going to put my best foot forward, play the game as kindly and together with the group as possible until the end. If all of a sudden I'm in the top 10 and I have to screw somebody over to win $5 million, yeah, I'm going to do it. And it's like the Squid Game to me, it's very twofold. Whereas like so many of these other shows, I would be like full on exactly what Jazz said all the way through, because with so many of these reality TV shows, if we're being perfectly honest, the positive screen time is more valuable than the prize.
Yeah.
You're going to get taxed on the prize. It's like, if it's like $50,000, okay, you're getting $25,000, which yeah, is incredible. It can be absolutely life changing.
Yeah.
But $4.5 million is, I can fuck off, never use social media or the internet again, and I can do whatever I want for the rest of my life as long as I use this properly. And so to me, that one's a little bit different. As long as you use it like properly, it's doable, right? Like,
you are 30-ish, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to assume you're going to live to 100, which means after taxes, your prize money would be about $30,000 a year for the rest of your life.
Yeah, but no, I get it all at once, and so I'll have interest in the things I invested in.
That is true. Make it best.
Right. If you're just gonna live off
on the note, which is interesting though, because that's what a lot of the headlines are, is that I won't spoil who it is, but the winner has not yet received their winners. Like, they still haven't gotten it. But that was another thing that, again, one more quick plug. You can find this on wherever you get your podcast, the Agents of Fandom podcast, and on our YouTube page. We talked to Player 182, TJ Stukes, and he's kind of, when one of the things we talked about, this then actually might have been after the fact, this might not have been on the pod, some stupid plug by me. That was in like the contracts they signed at the beginning. It said the payout will be distributed to the winner within 30 days of the final episode being aired on Netflix. And so it was like, it was told to them, like, it will be a while afterwards. It's not going to be the second you're done filming.
That makes sense. So the whole scene with that person with the credit card and going up to the ATM is it was a lie. It was a whole thing.
Completely lie, yeah. No, because they're going to get the money 30 days after the last episode aired. So we believe that's what, January 5th is when they're supposed to get the payment?
Somewhere around there, yeah. They're sitting there thinking, like, please make it before the holidays. I got presents to buy. I got things. want to take my time off here. It's cold outside. I know, maybe I'm just imposing my Canadianness on everyone. Like, please get me this like at the beginning of December, because I want to hibernate for the next month before it gets too cold.
True. For me, I'm kind of in this thing of like, let's look at probability. The probability of me being one out of 456, you know, people who wins it, is one out of 456, right? But the probability of me coming out looking good on television, it's probably higher if I'm a good person. So yeah. I would probably do my best to be a good person, even if I have to sacrifice myself to make sure someone who needs the money more gets it, until I get to the very end where the numbers start being a little bit more in my favor, and then perhaps I will be a little bit more cutthroat.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I'm not going to step on somebody. I think this is the second time I've used this analogy, but just because I can't think of anything else, because like, how do you truly like backstab someone that bad in a game show? But like, I'm not stepping on somebody's neck to get ahead, right, get one spot ahead at the end. Like, I'll still keep my morals, but it all of a sudden becomes like a lot more, holy shit, I can do this. I'm in this for me now.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. All right, man. Well, that's the end of our episode. Hope you guys enjoy it. Come back next week as we cover episodes 5 through 10. And TJ, if you're available, feel free to come back. We would love to talk to you about the next 5 episodes, which are very juicy and very exciting, because we'll talk about the game with where you fall down the glass. That game is amazing. There's a lot of drama in there. There's people I want to talk about who I think should have been eliminated, who got a free pass. There's the dice game where people decided to take on themselves. I think that's very interesting. Then there's one game where people use the presents, and you have to pick out who gave you the present, and you have to gaslight people to thinking it's somebody else. That was also very crazy. So definitely, I think it's really, really interesting. So we will come back with the next 5 episodes next week. Please join us. It'll be a fun time. And until next time, guys, salam, nerds.
Peace.